T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Randy Montez McMichael as Randy, and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Welcome in today. It is the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in this week in place of Andy Bunker. Andy's back with you next week. Glad to be hanging out with Randy McMichael today as we come to you following this Atlanta United loss to Cincinnati, a 1-0 loss by Atlanta United. And Randy, what a just frustrating morning of soccer to try to watch.
Chris, that sucked. Let's just call it what it is. It sucked. It really did, man. And it was sitting there watching this match this morning, and you're all excited because you get to see United play again, and they just didn't give you anything to be excited about. Didn't have a lot of energy out there. You lose a man early in the match, and it just didn't go right from there. End up losing another guy at the end of the match. And the way I looked at it, it was just they just were out of sync. You saw, and of course we have Joe Patrick on to talk more about the strategies and all that other stuff, but you saw the wholesale changes in the lineup and everything to start the game. And it's just disappointing, man, because right now they're desperate. They need help. And that's the one thing in sports that you always want to control, be able to control your own destiny. And right now they're not able to do it. But, you know, it is what it is, man. But it was just fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, as Boomer would say. Because, I mean, you look, the turf monster got pity so bad. And then you saw Barco kept falling. And, you know, it was just an ugly overall match that was not what we're used to seeing from Atlanta United. And, you know, back to the drawing board, man. I think I got Joe Patrick who's going to be on. He just tweeted it. It's going to be a long 5 days for these guys, man. It really is. I don't want to hear nothing about the heat because both teams, it was hot for Cincinnati too, you know. But that was a hell of a goal by that young kid, though. I give him that. That was a hell of a goal by the young man. But, yeah, it sucks. But, you know, because especially losing to Cincinnati. As bad as they looked the other day against Columbus, and then for them to basically park the bus and then just, like, methodically just wear you down. And you know, one of my he is one of my favorite boxers, Bernard Hopkins. Sort of like they call him the executioner as he got late in his career. How he would just, you know, just stay in front of you, jab you here, back up, jab you here. Yeah, you know, that's how it was for that match this morning for Atlanta United. And of course, you know, they lost. So that's why I said it just all around sucked.
92.9 The Game's Joe Patrick will join us today at 1:20. We'll talk more about this with Joe. There's a whole lot I think to unpack from this game. A couple of pivotal moments for United. You go back to the first half. Let's start there, Randy. First thing that I think it was really noticeable right from the start is, and I think Mike and Jason noted this early in the broadcast, the fact that and you just said it, a lack of intensity was not there. And I think maybe you combine that with a 9 a.m. start. You combine that with the heat, not making excuses because you still have to perform. But certainly it just looked like things were off to kind of a, I don't want to call it a rocky start, but it's like it wasn't very cohesive there. And I say that at the same time, while United attempted a lot of passes early, 107 in the first 15 minutes of action, just not able to, again, we go back to something that Frank DeBoer said, I guess it was after the match on Saturday, about the inability to finish. Now, it's much more difficult to finish when you end up playing a match just about the entire way. The 26th minute, Jake Moraney goes down with his second yellow card, and he is done. So you're a man down the rest of the way. That made it really, really difficult on United to try to mount much of an attack. And Randy, right. Look, I don't care how you want to look at this thing. And I know people say, well, that's not you can't put it on Joseph Martinez not being out there. To me, this team is not the same without Joseph Martinez. I mean, they're not.
Look at the first match. All those balls around the net, Joseph finishes those. Yes, of course you're going to miss his scoring ability, but you got to put in your head he ain't coming back. And also the officiating really just stunk too. It really did just stink too.
We will get into that as we'll hear again from Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, because neither one of those two guys very pleased with the way the officiating went today at all. And I thought Jason made a couple of good points, one of which being that, there was the play right before the end of the first half where you thought Atlanta United was going to get a penalty kick, and instead the VAR steps in and they rule it an offsides, and away goes the penalty kick. That is when it felt like things really started to snowball, and you kind of started to feel like Atlanta United may be in trouble going into that second half. We'll come back. We'll have more. Randy and I talking a lot about United. We'll talk more about it. We'll hear what Mike Conte had to say at halftime. We'll hear from Jason Longshore as well. We'll do that next. The Midday Show, Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Back on the Midday Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth alongside Randy McMichael. This segment brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOGNOW. Atlanta United coming off a disappointing 1-0 loss to Cincinnati. You heard it this morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy and I will continue to talk about it, continue to break it down. Randy, you brought up the point in the last segment just before we went to break about some of the calls, some of the officiating that took place in that game. Let's hear. This is Atlanta United color analyst Jason Longshore in his thoughts. I believe this was from the second half. And his thoughts on what he saw today from the officials.
This has been a joke. This has been an absolute joke from a referee crew and a center referee in Victor Rivas and an experienced VAR in Fotis Bazakos, who has made the game about themselves. That's not what we're here for. This game is not about these referees to be the conversation afterwards. Bazakos takes a lot of time to take a penalty away. He takes a lot of time to find a red card. Just incredible. Just incredible.
It's not a good look, Randy. Certainly not a good look for the MLS. Not a good look for the MLS as well today. To Jason's point, the last thing you want to have when you're playing a game with the potential, a 9 a.m. kick on ESPN, the opportunity to get a lot of eyeballs on your product, the last thing that you want to have is the story to become about the officials, and that's kind of what happened today.
Yeah, man. First of all, Jay, when you know something was wrong when I got Jason Longshore get that hot. Jay was really upset, and he had every right to do that. And I mean, yeah, he did. The VAR, and it took so long, and all these things. You take away a penalty shot for Atlanta United, all those things at 9 o'clock. I get it. But they just played bad. Okay, I mean, they did. The referees didn't help it, but I mean, hold on. They gave up 11 shots to 4. I mean, there's certain things that you just can't do to and win games. And going back to not having your best player, yeah, you can see the effects of not having Joseph Martinez, but Joseph is not going to be here, so Frank got to make different adjustments. I just thought they played sloppy today, too. I mean, the referees weren't tripping over their own feet and everything like that. And as far as the 9 o'clock start, hell, Cincinnati played at 9 o'clock. were they not another? Were they not the other team out there? It didn't seem to affect them playing at 9 o'clock. I mean, I don't like excuses when you lose. They lost, and yes, the referee was god awful. But Atlanta United just didn't play well. They didn't, and that's the second. That's the second game in a row. They just didn't play well, and maybe we're just so used to seeing them play as great as they are with the greatest player in franchise history as long as it's been around. But yeah, they got to do better, man. And now they're going to need help in this group stage and all these things, and we know that. But going back to today, it just wasn't a good match. It really wasn't, and the referees, they stunk. It ain't the first time that we've come on this air and said the referee is stunk. And it's usually when it doesn't go in our favor, which is, you know, typical when your team loses. The referee stunk. But they actually did stink today. And so now you go back to the drawing board. I mean, you can't play that long, that shorthanded, that long, and, you know, and think you're going to continue the flow of the match that you want when you're down a man from the 28th minute on. I mean, they haven't scored a damn goal. I think, what did Makati say, 300-something minutes?
305 minutes. I think you'd have to go back. Well, here's the deal. You'd have to go back to March to find the last time they scored a goal, and they have yet to score without Joseph Martinez after he got hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
United hasn't scored a goal since.
The dude is he's a goal scorer. I mean, if anything else, what is Joseph scores goals at any cost. He's going to throw his body. He's going to throw everything in and scoring goals. And you just don't see that right now. You don't. I mean, they've had opportunities. But when you take him off, he's a finisher, Chris. And if they just had a finisher in that first match against Red Bulls, they would have won that game easily. Because I was watching they're doing the pregame of the on ESPN before the game and everything. And they're showing all these clips where you're like, damn, on a run, if Joseph is there, that's a score. That's a score. That's a score. But he was not here. So, I mean, you got to adjust off of that. And they just not having him on the pitch right now. And until they do, they're going to have a hard time scoring goals.
You couple that with the fact of Atlanta United playing down a man for much of that match. We mentioned that Jake Mulroney was sent out in the 26th minute with his second yellow card. And United went the rest of the way a man down. And at the end, they were two men down.
Yeah.
By the time it all ended, it was tough. And Randy, it was tough to watch. I want to hear from Mike Conte, because I think Mike said at halftime exactly what I was thinking, and we talked about it a minute ago. If you're an MLS fan and you want to see this sport grow and you want to see it continue to gain eyeballs and gain attention, 9 a.m., on ESPN, this was something that ESPN wanted. They wanted, look, there's nothing else going on. They wanted the programming at this time. They wanted to be able to load up days with MLS soccer when they were able to do that. This is not the look that you wanted the United States, the rest of the country to have about MLS soccer. Let's hear. This is Mike Conte at halftime.
Cincinnati with zero pace in trying to get out of their defensive third.
With a man advantage.
Yeah, this is not a good advertisement for the league, folks. I'll just call out and say it. I mean, to watch Cincinnati, this is a 9 a.m. time slot that ESPN begged for the league to supply content because they thought they would get a lot of eyeballs on these matches. And Cincinnati, quite frankly, is embarrassing the league right now.
That's Mike Conte. And I think Mike made a great point. Again, if that's what you want now, I understand, Randy, and I know where you're going to say. You're going to say, well, look, yeah, was Cincinnati boring today? Sure they were, but it worked.
Yep.
I don't know that they played to win, but they ended up winning it. But again, if you're going to talk about how you grow this sport and get it to the next level, and I think some things in MLS soccer, and Jason Longshore and I have talked about this a couple of times before, but if you're going to see MLS soccer take the next step in this country, the next step is primetime network TV. That's the NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox. A couple things are going to have to change, but what we saw today is not a product that I think they want to put in front of a national audience on network TV in primetime.
I mean, I understand what you and Mike are saying, but I mean, it is what it is. That was their strategy coming into the game. Even with the man, even though they were a man up, they stuck to what they were going to do. Like I said, they just wore Atlanta United down. They got them bored. That's exactly what happened. They got them bored, and then you see the goal scorer slip behind the defense, and he scores that amazing goal. I agree. I don't like the 9 o'clock start. I don't like it. But I mean, we can't blame Cincinnati for that. This is what Cincinnati was not thinking. in the middle of that game, oh, we got to put on a show so people will watch MLS. No, they're saying this is our strategy. We're going to stick to it. And when our opportunity, it might come far in between, when our opportunity comes, we strike. The opportunity came, they struck, they won. It's simple as that. Yes, everything stunk about the way Cincinnati played today. And they came away with a damn stankin' win.
I'll give them credit for being patient because you're exactly right. Even when they had the man advantage, they still didn't go on the attack like what you expected them to do. It didn't happen. They did what they did. They played the way they play, and they come away with the win, a 1-0 victory over United. And that is a tough one to swallow for Atlanta United. More on this game, on this match, rather, coming up in 120 today. Joe Patrick from 92.9 The Game, he'll be with us. We'll get into it with him. What's trending coming up next? Whole lot of stuff going on in sports, including an email that was sent out to Atlanta Falcons season ticket holders. We'll tell you about that as well. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. Glad to be hanging out with you today. Tough one earlier for Atlanta United. They drop a 1-0 decision to Cincinnati United. Now 0-2 in the MLS is back tournament. Back in action again next week. We'll talk more about it. Joe Patrick will join us in the next segment. We'll talk a little bit about United with him. And don't forget, coming up at 1:40, it's Ask Me Anything. So go ahead and get your questions in at Windy Radio at Brian_Gebhardt. So get your questions in for Ask Me Anything. Now it's time to take a look at what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Randy, Steve Cannon, who is the CEO of AMB Sports and Entertainment, sent a letter to season ticket holders for the Falcons saying that they would be given a survey to determine which home games that people wanted to attend. Sounds like there's going to be limited seating, obviously, right, which we figured. Mandatory face covering and no pregame or halftime activities. The team is going to hold a drawing allowing members an opportunity to attend select home games if it's allowed by the NFL and by local authorities. More information is expected to be sent out to season ticket holders next week. But it's the first time we've had, we talked a little bit yesterday about the Phillies and the Eagles not able to have fans in attendance in Philadelphia this year. It's the first time we've heard anything about the Falcons in regards to what the game day experience at Mercedes-Benz may be like this year.
Well, we've been seeing this more and more as this week and last week progresses. These teams sending out these letters to season ticket holders. Either they're not going to charge them, either waive their fees or whatever right now. And now this is something that, because that was always my thing, was like, okay, if you're going to let people in, how do you determine who gets in and who doesn't get in? So this is just a way to see if there is going to be football, if they are going to allow fans, and this is another process that is going to be involved. And obviously we're looking at sporting events now that maybe fans can come. There was 20,000 people last night at the NASCAR race, man. I want Caleb. I think Caleb Johnson was there as far as representing the station, down there. And so they're trying. But NASCAR's been back, and so they're allowing more and more people in. But 20,000, that's very encouraging if you're looking at a sport like football or something like that to have fans in their stands. When you can't have basketball because of that. But or when MLS comes back to their home cities, having people maybe in the stands. So it's just another process that when I saw it this morning, I was like, okay, well, Atlanta's the next one in line. Who's next? Who's gonna come up with something else also? But I think it's most important because you got to find a way to get some revenue. Even if you get 20,000 people in Mercedes-Benz for a Falcon game, that's revenue generated somehow that they don't have to say, well, we just couldn't accommodate anybody as far as concessions and anything like that. At least you'll have some people in there that can generate some kind of money into that building.
NFL expects $3 billion less, that's billion with a B, less in revenue if you don't have fans in the stands. So I think that's, and we talked about what that would mean in terms of the gross adjusted revenue, which is the number that determines the salary cap. So obviously the players, they want to see folks paying to get in the gate as well, because that helps the revenue, which in turn players get 47% of that. So it's going to help the salary cap not go down as much. I don't think there's any doubt, Randy, we're going to see a lower salary cap next year because of the economic situation that everybody's in right now.
Yeah, I mean that's just something that you have to not necessarily adjust. You have to, you know, keep it in the back of your mind that that's something that might happen. Either it's going to go down or it's going to stay flat. I don't see it going up. I mean, I'd be surprised, Chris, but I think the last, 8 or 9 years, it's went up $10 million a year. So, I mean, we're used to, you know, the growth of the salary cap. I don't expect it to have that kind of jump, but I either expect it to stay flat or go down. But, I mean, these are things that you got to prepare for down in the future. That's why probably needs negotiations between the NFLPA and the league as far as, you know, trying to stretch some of that debt that they're going to lose because they're in a revenue-sharing business. So the players are going to have to give up something, you know what I'm saying? They can't just expect the owners to take all this loss. No, the players are going to have to find a way to, you know, to give up something also because of the revenue-sharing part of it, even though they're getting screwed like they always do. I mean, it is, you know, it is what it is. You got to find a way to give up something, man.
Also, Randy, the NFL says that 72 players league-wide were known to have tested positive for the coronavirus as of last Friday. So out of 2,800 players that have been tested, 72 positives, that's 2.5% of the workforce. That information was released this morning.
Yeah, I mean, that's typically what everything's been you know, it's been around there. When we talk about all these leagues being tested like that, that's usually the number around there, 2 to 5% of the players being tested positive. So at least we know the number is consistent. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's not bad, but yet people are still affected by it, you know, and that's the one thing that you try not to mitigate, like, oh, well, that ain't that bad. Well, I mean, 2.5 isn't bad, but it's something. And so these players are trying to figure out because we know this that's just right now. What happens when all these guys get together and you know, get in the same building and all these things that they're still trying to work out that hopefully they can come up with some kind of resolution. We talked yesterday about what the players are requesting. Now we got to hear what the owners are going to come back with. So, I mean, I don't want the NFL to be baseball. That's the only thing. I don't want these negotiations because just like, the union in baseball and the players, it wasn't a good relationship. The NFL and the NFLPA is not a great relationship, too. We know that. I mean, it's publicly known. They work together, but, you know, in order for us to get football back, somebody's going to have to give. And as much as I'm always on the player side, they got to give something. They got to give in order for this to get done because of the times that we're in.
What's Trending? It's a rundown of the top stories of the day here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's move on to the Braves now. Braves with an intra-squad game last night. Ronald Acuna hit two doubles. Dansby Swanson hit a home run. So another good night for the Braves in that intra-squad game. Now, first game for the Braves coming up in 8 days, Randy. I believe it's 1 week. I believe they open the season on Friday. So it's 1 week from tomorrow. Jacob DeGrom of the Mets is scheduled to be the starting pitcher. His MRI came back clean. This was after he was removed from a Mets intra-squad game due to back tightness. If he has to sit for a couple of days here, Randy, I don't know that it's a given that, A, he's the Mets opening day starter, or even that if he is a starter, I don't know how long he can go. The Braves may only have to deal with this guy who's just been tremendous over the last couple of years. Braves may only have to deal with him for, I don't know, maybe an inning, maybe two innings. I don't know that the Mets are going to take too much of a chance out there with him for an extended period of time if he's not able to kind of stretch himself out a little bit and throw more between now and next Friday.
Well, when we talk about backs and pitchers, I mean, that's something that you got to keep an eye on and everything. And you know, you don't wish anything on anybody because he's a hell of a pitcher and he'll be facing the Braves. And so, I think a lot of people, when they first saw the news, like, uh-oh, you know, because it does seem like, you know, when you talk backs and pitchers, it's something that might linger and do all those things. But it came back clean, so we'll see how it goes. I'm sure they're going to be very, very patient with him. They're going to be very, very careful with him. You know, he's their best player. So, I mean, of course they're going to do that. Well, Pete Alonso's the best player. He's their best pitcher. But, I mean, when you go back to what happened in the scrimmages, it was cut short because of rain. Ronald looked good. Dansby looked good. Folty looked like crap. So, this is just move on because we keep on talking about these pitchers. We know that Max Fried and we know Mike Soroka ready. We know how talented Folty is. But it just don't know what Folty you're going to get to show up. So, we're not going to take too much out of it as far as the scrimmage. But, you know, you got to do better. I mean, pitchers give up home runs, but I just want my guys to do better.
Christian Pache of the Braves diagnosed with a grade 2 ankle sprain, according to Dave O'Brien. So, Randy, it's a little more severe for him than what we had thought. Snitker said he's going to need a few days, but he should be fine. So that's good news for the Braves. Big story yesterday for the Braves was the signing of Yasiel Puig. We mentioned this yesterday, that he was a teammate of Charlie Culberson with the Dodgers. He and Culberson had lockers that were right next to each other, and Charlie Culberson talked about how Yasiel Puig feeds off of being animated.
And a lot of people, I guess, are rubbed a little differently, obviously, if he's on the opposing team, and I can see that. That's just kind of his style of play. You know, the more, if you want to say, antics that goes on, sometimes that feeds Yasiel and his play, his style of play. So much talent. As long as we're here, and I know nothing's official yet, but he's a good person, and he can bring a lot to a team.
Randy, we talked about it yesterday. Yasiel Puig is the guy that you love him when he's on your team. You love to hate him when he's not on your team.
Yeah, I mean that, but that's typical of people with big personalities like his, man. And it's always, you know, it's always welcoming to hear from somebody that was actually around the person instead of people who weren't, and then they speculate and all this and everything. And so Charlie, I mean, he's absolutely correct. He can be an annoying dude when he's on other people's team. He can't be. But when he's your teammate, you love him. And not everybody's going to get along. And some people have different ways of being annoyed. And he seems like he's the type of guy that if he annoys you and he knows it, he might try to annoy you even more. But like I was saying yesterday, I don't look at this as anything – As a move, I don't look at it as a bad move. I don't think this is going to hurt the chemistry of this team as much as people want to try to perceive that it will, because it just, like, just the whole thing. I go to Cam Newton. Like, people, they were talking today, as Cam do the Patriot way. Why can't Cam just play football? I mean, Cam is a big personality and all these things, but Cam's a hell of a football player, and Bill Belichick will encourage it as long as it's not about Cam. And celebration is not always about Cam, because what do we see when Cam does now? He goes and gives a kid a football, gives one his bracelets and all these things, but people want to make this perception like he's just some bad damn teammate and bad player, and he's not, and you've never heard anything come from any of his teammates about him being bad. Yasiel Puig. I love Charlie. I trust Charlie. What did Charlie just come out and say? He's a sweet guy, fun guy to be around. But if you don't play, but if he doesn't play on your team, he gets on your nerves. I like guys like that. Don't you want a guy on our Braves team that could get under people's skin like that? We've been too damn clean cut, man. We had a rough rider last year in Josh Donaldson. Now we got somebody now that's one of them guys that ain't gonna take no mess. We know that. I told y'all yesterday. You let somebody come inside on Ronald Acuna or Ozzie Albies. You don't think that Yasiel Puig going to be at the top of that dugout cursing and yelling at the pitcher? Yeah, they need that. They need it.
Here's more from Charlie Culberson. For all the folks that feel like the Braves are bringing a virus into the clubhouse with Yasiel Puig, here's what Charlie Culberson had to say.
I really enjoyed Yasiel. Good person, good heart. He means well. He's got so much ability, so much talent. For me, you know, parts of two seasons in L.A., I had a locker beside him, so I really got to know him as who he was.
That's Charlie Culberson of the Braves. Let's get more into the NFL again. It is What's Trending here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Titans and Derrick Henry. Boy, it was a last-minute deal.
Yes, it was.
They got it done right under the deadline as the Titans and Henry agree on a four-year deal. It's worth $50 million.
Henry, congratulations.
The Wildcat keeping, coming to the left, turning the corner, and will go in standing up. Touchdown! Derrick Henry to pay dirt.
Yeah, congratulations.
Mike Keith
to Derek,
on Titans Radio.
Congratulations. I know it makes him the fifth highest back, and people are, you know, it's always the person who ain't in position to ever make that kind of money to have something to say about somebody. Derek needed to take this contract because of the reason he ran the ball 300 times last year. You don't think he's going to do it again this year? And he needed that security. Derek is going to make more money than he could ever imagine. Is it a top value market money for running backs? No, it's not. But it's a great value for him and the team, and he had to do what is best for him, because as a running back, and I'm talking specifically as a running back, you know that life shelf, Chris. You've seen so many of these top running backs, when they get that contract, what usually happens the next year? They get hurt or their production slip. Derek didn't need to take that chance with it. It was a nice, fair deal for him. I'm you know, congratulations to him. That's a lot of money that he can do whatever he wants to do, start taking care of his family, take care of himself, set them up for the rest of their life. That's a whole lot of money. It might not be Christian McCaffrey, but damn. I mean, you can't live off 12-5. I mean, come on, man. you can't live off 12-5. Come on, man. But, yeah, and congratulations to Derrick Henry.
And he was their offense last year, especially in the playoffs. They don't make that playoff run if they don't have Derrick Henry.
No, they don't, man. They don't make that run. And he is their bell cow. But that's it. Over 300 carries last year. I know Mike V. I know his philosophy and what he wants to do as far as ground and pound. That's what he wants to do. They did a good job last year because they would throw the ball a lot on first down, Chris, and take those shots and try and lose the defense and then come with him in that battering ram. And, I mean, that's what they do in Tennessee. And you don't think that he's going to have 300-plus carries again this year? Yeah, he's going to have 300-plus carries this year. Take care of your money and take care of yourself, man.
Cowboys and Dak do not get a deal done. He'll play this year under the franchise tag. Randy, do you see a scenario? Would the Cowboys be willing? Would they franchise Dak Prescott 2 years in a row and then let him walk?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen him with Kirk Cousins and everything, and then you saw Dak's brother come out and speak out, and it's cool to have your brother's back, but sometimes let me handle this, bro. I got this. But I just think it's some hurt feelings, some hard feelings, and sometimes, you know, when you get into a negotiation, we know this. Well, I know this. In these negotiations, it gets ugly. You might think it's civil sometimes. No, it gets ugly sometimes, Chris, and I'm sure, because I know Todd Francis' agent. Todd is a hard negotiator, and I'm sure that they thought that, you know, possibly because we the Cowboys, we got this, but obviously they didn't. But I'll tell you one quick note before we go to break. Chris, I don't know what's going up there in Washington with that football team, but it seems like it's some mush mess finna come out of there, man. Did you see
that? Is that article dropped yet?
It hasn't dropped yet, but boy, if it's anything like we think it's supposed to be, uh-oh.
For those that haven't heard, the Washington Post is supposed to be publishing it's supposed to come out today about Dan Snyder and the Redskins organization that is supposed to be nasty. Based on the rumors that are going around about it, it is not going to be pretty, and it is not going to put him or that organization in a good light. Tells me we may have something to talk about tomorrow, Randy.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk a little Atlanta United. Our friend Joe Patrick will join us next. We'll talk about the United dropping that 1-0 decision to Cincinnati. That's next. Joe Patrick's on the Midday Show right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Some Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Don't forget, get your Ask Me Anything questions in at Windy Radio at Brian_Gebhardt. We will do that coming up next. We need to get back and talk a little Atlanta United. A tough one today, a 1-0 loss against Cincinnati. Let's bring in our man, 92.9 The Game's Joe Patrick.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
All right, Joe, let's talk about it. Atlanta United drops that 1-0 decision to Cincinnati. We've talked about how some of the comments that Mike and that Jason made during the broadcast. How did you feel about the officiating today?
Yeah, the officiating was questionable. In fact, Fernando Meza talked after the game saying that he had a conversation with the ref afterward, just trying to get some clarity on some of the calls that were made. Or really what it was, I think what Meza was upset about was the lack of cards that some of the Cincinnati players got at some moments in the game. There was a clear foul on Franco Escobar at one point where it was a clear break. The guy just tackled him from behind to stop a counterattack. And apparently the ref told Fernando Meza in that instance that there was not like a goal-scoring opportunity or something. Like, they wasn't in the attacking third, something like that. That was the reason he didn't get the yellow card there. But, yeah, The refereeing was questionable at times, but I mean, clearly the story of this game was not about the refereeing. It was just about the red card that happened early in the game that kind of threw everything out of whack. Frank DeBoer said that, you know, the plan had to be thrown overboard after that. And Atlanta United just couldn't really find themselves back in the game after that, at that point.
And Joe, as we've watched out throughout the game, we knew that coming into this game, Cincinnati, they were going to sit back, they were going to do all these things, and even a man down, they continued to do it until they waited for that one week, that one moment that Atlanta United dropped their guard and was able to score that goal, which was a great goal by that kid. What were your overall thoughts as far as how Cincinnati just was able to stick to their guns and be patient and wait for Atlanta United to make a mistake?
Yeah, so I actually think it was not going to probably be a fruitful way for Cincinnati to play coming out of the gates there. Like, in my opinion, if you're going to play defensively, you at least need to come out in the first 5 or 10 minutes and be a little bit aggressive, put some doubt in the minds of the opposing players. And I actually thought the Red Bulls did that really well in the game prior, where they came out and they were aggressive and they kind of punched Atlanta in the mouth right off the bat. Then they started to drop back and protect their own goal. And in this one, from the get-go, Cincinnati just dropped back and let Atlanta have the ball, which was clearly their strategy. But that you got to say that that strategy worked out when Atlanta was reduced to 10 men. That changes everything. I don't think it would have worked out for Cincinnati had things gone on. I know that Atlanta United did not look great in those first 25 minutes either, but that was kind of the game plan for Atlanta coming into this one. And Frank DeBoer said it afterwards. He said that the thing that he was stressing to the team coming into this one was just to be patient, because Cincinnati was going to sit behind the ball, and that's why you start a guy like Adam John, who can get on the ends of crosses. You know, so if you're patient and you play the ball around, you're going to be able to work in some crosses and try to get those moments for John and some of those other attacking players to capitalize. But again, comes back down to that red card, and things just really, you know, that whole strategy, that whole plan, everything they had worked on coming into the game kind of got thrown out the window at that point.
Joe Patrick of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with us. Joe, I want to go back to officiating again for one final time. Did the VAR overstep his role at the end of that first half in taking the penalty kick away from United with that offsides call?
Yeah, the VAR, I think so. Listen, you're talking to a guy who has never liked VAR. I know why it's been implemented. I know that it's corrected some very important calls, and that is, you know, a good thing for sure. But yeah, that I don't know how. What was really surprising to me was that on the play where the red card happened, there was a questionable offsides, and if Cincinnati was offside in that moment, then the red card doesn't happen. I would assume the red card would then be wiped off the board, but they never went to look at it, even though it looked very, very close on the one or two shots that we got from the broadcast. And then, yeah, on the penalty that got taken away from Atlanta United, that is just such a close one. And in these situations, these guys don't, the VAR officials, the assistant referees who are reviewing these things, don't have the normal tools digitally that they would have in a normal game to really be able to refine exactly where someone's foot is on the field in relation to somebody else's. So I thought that that was way too close to say it was a clear and obvious reason to remove it. I thought that there was kind of inconsistencies from the VAR booth.
Joe, what were your initial thoughts of the lineup change for, you said why they put John in, but I'm just talking about overall, Bello not playing, talking about he was getting ready to start for the game against Columbus. What were your overall thoughts of the lineup?
That was a very curious one, the fact that Bello was not even in the match day squad. I would assume that even if you were wanting to play him, planning to start him against the Crew, that you would at least put him on the bench. I mean, you've got 12 slots, and they were carrying two goalkeepers on the bench, so I don't really understand why you wouldn't just take one of those goalkeepers out and put Bello on there. And then it's kind of funny how it worked out with, you could have used a guy exactly like Bello who could have come on for Mulroney, you know, his replacement in the game. So I would kind of criticize that one from DeBoer, but I understand the reasoning why as well. Sometimes you want to just give a young player like Bello, don't even put it in his mind that he needs to even be ready to play today. Just kind of really focus in physically and mentally on that next game. I thought it was a smart decision to kind of, it seems like Frank has had a plan to rotate the two central midfielders. So he had Emerson Hyman and Mo Adams planned and slotted in to play against Red Bulls. And then today he had Jeff Lorenowitz and Eric Rometty in there. Those central midfielders do a lot of running. And in a tournament like this, it's really hard for those guys. And you're asking so much of them physically to run the same guys out for two consecutive starts. So I thought that that was actually a good move, and I thought that those two players did relatively well considering the circumstances. And then obviously you get Barco back in the starting lineup. He was suffering from some fitness issues leading up to the Red Bulls game because he had had a little hamstring issue that had him cause him to miss some training before that game. But clearly, you know, he was not prepared to go 90 minutes, and Frank DeBoer eventually had to pull both him and Pitti out of the game just because he needs those guys. Again, for a game against Columbus Crew that's still going to have some importance on it, believe it or not, if some things break in Atlanta United's way in the next coming days.
Joe Patrick of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game visiting with us as we talk a little bit of Atlanta United. Mulroney and Williams suspended for Tuesday. What does that do, Joe, to the United lineup?
Fortunately, I don't think that's going to have a big impact on what Frank DeBoer had planned for the game against the Crew. It sounded like he was ready to have Bello start in this next game. And, you know, I asked him why Bello wasn't even on the match day roster today, and he just said that it was because he was planning him to play in the next game, which I assume that means that he's planning to start him in that game as well. So don't think that actually missing Mulroney is going to be as big of a deal. And then J.J. Williams, obviously, that's kind of a guy that you would use in a situation exactly like he was used today, where he's kind of a guy that you would throw on at the last minute in a desperation attempt. So I guess that's one less, tool in the toolbox that Frank DeBoer will have against the Crew. But, I mean, ideally, if Atlanta is going to get anything meaningful out of that game, you won't be needing J.J. Williams to come on at the last second to try to get something out of it. They're going to need to have a big win against the Crew. They're going to need a multi-goal win, most likely, if they want to have any chance of making it to the knockout stages. So I guess that's like the one silver lining I guess you can take from this game, is that the guys who are suspended weren't going to figure into having a big influence over the coming match anyway.
So what does this team need to do better? Because, you know, I just saw the energy. It just seems like it wasn't there from the get-go. And like you said, like we talked before you got on, it just seems like it was one of those old-school boxing matches where the guy, you got the big puncher, but you got the methodical boxer that just waits. What does this team need to do a little bit better to try and see if they can't get that multi-goal win against Columbus?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I asked Jeff Lorenowitz this after the game, and I think he was kind of annoyed by my question, and I totally understand why when you've been out there running around for 2 hours in the Orlando heat and humidity. But I asked him, I said, is there some passion missing in this team? Because it just didn't seem like there was that same kind of, not even just like the physical moving around, but the same kind of just like energy from your soul, you know, I feel like that's what a large thing that Atlanta United is missing with Joseph Martinez out of the lineup, is kind of just that soul of the team. It's like you were just waiting in this game to see some Atlanta United player kind of yell and bark at the rest of his teammates, and you just never saw that happen. And I understand that it's a very difficult situation for them playing down a man in those conditions, and especially playing a morning game like that. You were eating pasta at 6 a.m. trying to get ready for this thing. It was pretty miserable for everybody out there. But, yeah, you hope to see some more of that kind of bite and desire. And, you know, you just want to see a little bit, like you said, you just want to see more from the team. Obviously, there are tactics that play into it. But especially against the crew, when, you know, this is your last chance, this is the last hurrah, you really want to see them give everything they have out there. And I'm sure they will do that, by the way.
Good stuff today, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, Joe P.
Thanks, guys. We'll do it later.
Joe Patrick, you can find him J.A. Patrick 200 on Twitter, and you can always hear him here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Last chance for you to get in your Ask Me Anything questions. Do it right now at Windy Radio, at Brian Gebhardt. That is next on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Ask Me Anything this hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org. Randy, a short show today. A little abbreviated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's abbreviated, but I got, like, I'm sitting down there like watching the match. I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? I ain't never seen 17 minutes of extra time before. So, I mean, maybe they have, but I didn't pay attention because it was, what, 7 in the first half, it was 10 in the second half. So I'm like, damn, that's we right. Might not get on to 1 o'clock. So those are the times where, you know, I always say this. I might have me a couple while we're on the air, but I won't have a couple before we come on the air. So I was like, damn, I ain't never watched no United game without a cold beer in my hand. But I can't do that, so I don't want to come on the air you know, with beer breath. But, I mean, I can, you know, continue on the air.
Let's get into our Ask Me Anything for today and say hello. We haven't heard from her yet today. Let's say hello to Wendy. Wendy!
Wendy!
I'm here, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Wendy!
Great. This is a really tough show today, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sending some emails out. Hey, man, you think we can get more of these?
I know, right? All right, we're going to start here. What would it take to get Randy to drink nothing but Truly during one of his cookouts?
What the hell is a Truly? Oh,
White Claw.
What would get me to drink a Truly at one of my cookouts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know me, man. You know the only thing that moves me is money. So, you know.
How much money are we talking, Randy?
Yeah, the only thing that moves me is money. I don't know, man. That's a hard thing because it just depends. If somebody like, I give you $20 to drink a Truly, I'm like, man, no. You know, I mean, it ain't even about the principle that I have.
I drink a Truly for $20.
But you drink them. I don't drink them. And you know I'm stubborn, Wendy. You know how stubborn I am when it comes to stuff that I say I'm not going to ever do. I ain't never drinking no damn Truly or White Claw. But, I mean, again, the only thing that moves me is money. So
I drink a beer for $50. You can give me $50. I'll drink a beer.
Okay, well, I ain't drinking no Truly for $50.
What? It's just, it's delicious. Oh, whatever.
Okay, tell me this. Does anybody have to see me do it?
No, but you have to promise that you actually do it. You can't just say you did and didn't do it. You got to keep your word.
So all I got to do is come out with one of them empty can, right? Okay.
No. There's gotta be proof, Randy. There's video proof. You gotta have somebody there. What's your neighbor? Is it Bob? Is that your neighbor?
Yeah, neighbor Bob. Yeah.
You need a notary.
Neighbor Bob's gonna have to come over and be a witness.
Okay, whatever, man. Okay, I'll think about it. How about that?
You need an official. Yes. Who is your favorite Marvel superhero?
Black Panther.
Good one.
Oh wow, okay. That's a tough one because I grew up on all of those Marvel characters as a kid. So if I had to pick just one, it's hard to go wrong with Spider-Man, but I really like, I'm gonna go Iron Man. It's between those two. It's either Spider-Man or Iron Man. I'm probably going to lean a little more towards Iron Man.
Oh, Wendy, I got one right here from Zach Evans. I guess my man, he is from Macon, my man down there in Central Georgia. He says, do you prefer your beer cold in a bottle or in a can? When I'm home, and there's a lot, when I'm home, I prefer cans. When I'm home, I will drink out of a bottle when I'm out or something, if I get like a Corona or something. But at home, I always prefer to drink out of a can. After dinner, definitely. If they have the draft.
Chris?
Well, you know, I don't drink anymore.
You don't drink anymore, yeah.
Yeah, so now, prior to that, I always preferred it on draft. Always. Okay. Always.
Who are y'all's very, very, very early favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Very early favorite.
Yep, if you had to pick right now and put all your money on it.
Oh, I go with Chiefs again. They have not done anything this offseason to make me think that they won't win it again. They have not, you know. And then team morale is high because of the fact is that players love to see their teammates get paid. And, you know, I think the Patrick Mahomes thing was a no-brainer. But when you see them pay a player like Chris Jones, it just gives you that much more confidence in the organization. So I go to Chiefs.
I want to go Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to see Baltimore. I want to see the Falcons win it. Hell, but
I do too.
Baltimore is just always that team that you always feel like is going to contend. Always going to contend.
If you could morph two animals into one super animal, what two animals would you morph together?
Morph two animals. Probably like a gorilla and a giraffe.
Ooh.
I don't know why, but yeah. Could you imagine a gorilla with an elephant neck?
Or, no.
Me neither, Wendy. Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show you how sick
of imagination. I wish there was a generator to make it so I could see what it would look like. Chris, which two would you choose?
Who the hell comes up with a question like this anyway?
I don't know, man.
Ask me anything, so people ask anything.
How about a cheetah and a rhino? Because if you could have the rhino's size and the cheetah's speed.
Ooh. Yeah,
I would never want to go on a safari.
I just came up with something out of my behind there. I see a damn giraffe and a gorilla. Damn it, Randy.
You want another try, Randy?
I think I might have to skip this one, Randy, because that just made absolutely no damn sense what I said.
Favorite type of cheese?
I don't really have a favorite cheese. I like all cheeses. I don't really have a favorite or what I.
Oh, there's gonna be a favorite.
No, it really isn't. I just like cheese. I'm not one to pick one over the other. I mean, I know people eat them fancy Goudas and all them fancy words. Man, just give
me
some
Kraft Singles. Have you had the brie cheese?
Brie, all that stuff. You give me some Kraft Singles and I'm good to go, man. Yeah, I mean, but that's just me. I mean, we got all kind of cheese in here. We got the shredded, the Parmesan, the mozzarella, all that. I mean, whatever. I'm cool.
We're the same way, Randy. We got like 8 bags of shredded cheese in our refrigerator.
Cheese all,
I'm like, what do we need 8 bags of? But my favorite, though, is provolone.
Yeah, I like provolone. I love provolone cheese. But yeah. David Bob is the cheese expert. So whenever he comes over here, he brings the cheese over. And the greatest thing was we were watching the game in the basement, and we had friends over. And, like, Bob brought the cheese over. And Bob brought the cheese and the salami and everything. So he brings it downstairs to the basement because we usually eat it outside. But we were watching the game inside. And, Chris, everybody kept looking around, like, smelling. I'm like, damn, is that somebody's feet?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I was like, no, that ain't. That can't. Who the hell can I? We grown-ass men, y'all down here with these funky feet. And I was like, hold on. It's a damn cheese over there, man. But they say that the stankier it is, the better it is. From what they tell me.
By the way, I highly recommend brie cheese with the spicy jam on top of a cracker. You're welcome now. Just try it.
Tell me it again.
Really good.
Ooh.
Brie cheese with the spicy jam on top.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no. Trust me, Randy. You will thank me later.
Cheese and jam and jelly?
It's a spicy jam. It's not a sweet jam. It's a spicy jam.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into that.
Just try it, Randy.
Okay.
How long do you keep socks once you get a hole in them?
Probably about 4 more wears. Yeah. I haven't worn socks in so long, but I mean, I know I'm not the only person in here who has like the dryer sock thief, because I mean, for some reason I'm always buying socks. And then my wife, Donna, she wears a bunch, like she wears socks because she goes to the gym all the time. So I don't know how our socks get mixed up or something, but for some reason I'm always losing socks for some damn reason. Don't know why.
I don't. They're gone. They get a hole in them. They're gone.
No, man. I can wear. I can give me a good wear as long as it ain't nowhere visible. Like out the toe or something. I'm cool.
Now I can, I've been known to hang on to a pair of underwear far past the prime that it should have been when those things start to come apart. But no, socks. I can't stand that. That gets on my nerves. I can't stand a sock with a hole, especially if it's in the heel. I can't stand that.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I got on shoes, I'm good. You know, the one part is because I don't wear I don't wear flip flops with my socks, so I'm good. When I do put on tennis shoes, I just, you know, well, hell, I got all these new pair of socks. Wendy, you should have said I went and bought like a new pack of socks right before the lockdown. Then they still ain't been unwrapped yet because I don't wear socks, no lie, 3 times since we've been on quarantine. Yeah. 3 times.
Guys, let's get to our takeaway of the day. I'll lead us off here, and then you guys can follow.
As our show gets into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First thing I learned today is the only thing that moves Randy is money.
Damn right.
That's good to know. And the second thing, after hearing Charlie Culberson and his comments on Yasiel Puig, Randy, I'm ready to double down now that the Braves made a great move in adding this guy. Whenever it's finally official, it's a great move if Yasiel Puig is in a Braves uniform.
I think we'll figure it and find out. My takeaway of the day is that Wendy is going to entice me to have some jam, some spicy jam from a brie.
Mm-hmm.
And that neighbor Bob has to verify the fact that I drank a White Claw, or what was that other thing called? A Stanley?
Truly.
Oh, Truly? Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Stanley, Truly.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's fine, Randy. My takeaway of the day is that watching your team lose a soccer game early is not great. If they're going to lose, I'd rather it be a night game.
Wendy is 100% right about the brie and spicy jam. It is awesome. You guys need to try that out. She is 100% correct about this. Tiger birdied one. He's one under through two. Make sure you check out the Memorial Tournament this afternoon. And if you can't live off 12.5 a year, we can't help you.
12.5? You can't live off that?
You can eat by on 12.5, can't you?
Hell, come on, man. You can get by on 12.5.
I'd like to try. I'd like to have that problem. Easily. I'd like to have that problem. Yeah, hey, that's going to do it for us. Easily. Brian, Wendy, Randy, great stuff today.
Later.
We'll get a chance to do it again tomorrow. Back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Stick around. Dukes and Bell headed your way next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app.
Watch out now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.